Hey everyone, another great episode of The Morning Show today. We are joined by Kix to discuss all things ERC-404 token, given that that's the latest craze as it's caused a lot of volatile price action on various NFT projects. We also talked about the state of gaming NFTs and their associated crypto tokens, given the recent cooldown that's been going on, and we got some of Kix's insight on that. And lastly, we were joined by Shrapnel's head of Web3 marketing, Tony, to talk about their STX1 event that's launching today, which you can check out by owning a Shrapnel Extraction Pack. You can buy a Shrapnel Extraction Pack at thenifty.com/shrapnel and use promo code NIFTY for 30% off. Thanks and enjoy the show. We're going live. And we are live. Welcome to the Nifty Morning Show, ladies and gentlemen. We got a big show. The crew is here. We are discussing the ERC-404 token craze. We're seeing projects being brought out of the grave. We saw a 10x just yesterday from one announcing the launch of one and a snapshot. We're going to break it down and see if there's any money left to be made there or if we are too late to the party. We're going to discuss the latest crypto pump that we witnessed yesterday, the first one of February, what to make of it, and why things are starting to heat up once again in the ETH NFT ecosystem. I'm talking D-Gods, I'm talking Utes, and I'm talking the flightless birds, ladies and gentlemen. Before we get started, Easy, I see you are in New York. I saw you complaining about it, frankly.
This place sucks.
Say it in the helium voice, can you?
This place sucks. There's garbage cans and trash bags as high as Mount Everest on the streets. There's rats everywhere. I saw two people arguing in the street, and there was like a 4-block backup of traffic. And people love living here. They pay exorbitant amounts of money to live here.
It's really crazy.
Did you see any rats?
Of like 12, dude. Like, what do you mean? It's like, that's like asking, do you see any dogs in Miami? It's like you walk outside, there's 60 of them. Down here, you walk outside, and it's just rats and human fecal matter on the sidewalk.
How'd you like the food?
Yeah, food's great. Food is great. Like, I will say, the food's great here. That's the best part. Like, you eat well. The coffee's awesome. You really can't complain too much about that stuff. But the people willingly live here. It shocks me every time. And I've been to New York a lot. And every time I'm flabbergasted that people spend a lot of money to live here. A lot.
Yeah, when I lived in the Upper East Side, like the only apartment we could afford, it was so narrow you couldn't fit a couch in it. So we had to buy a couch, like and assemble it inside and then left it there when we left. But anyways, it was in like these old pre-war buildings. So they were one of the few places that allowed you to have dogs. So everybody had dogs, right? And everybody has to be at work at 8 or 9. So on like a nice May day, you come out and everybody has taken their dogs out to pee on the same strip of sidewalk. And then you're on your way to work and it just starts getting hot and sweaty and fuming. You smell that and you're like, yeah, I was like, this is gonna be a couple years of fun and that's about it.
Dude, that's the crazy part too. And like when I'm like walking around and like just seeing the human beings, and to be honest, I'm in Williamsburg. So like I'm also in like the kind of like the hipster area. Yeah, nobody's pants cover their ankles. Oh, nobody's pants cover their ankles. They're all slightly above their ankles. They're all wearing beanies even in the summertime. And then on top of it, like, dude, I'm just trying to find a Dunkin' Donuts, but you can't find a Dunkin' Donuts. It's only like double, triple artesian coffee that's served in a small cup. I just want like
or double IPAs. That's all they got.
Triple IPAs now, dude. Double IPAs were so COVID 2021. Like it's triple IPAs and some other weird stuff now, like alcoholic kombucha.
That's a place to be where that's being served. Easy. How did you? I was in New York and I experienced that same thing. But you went out with the crew yesterday. You played some squash with Nick after cooking him in basketball. Sounds like
Nick's a sleeper build in squash, dude. He's got the sleeper build. It totally caught me off guard. This man's out there swinging that racket like his life depends on it, and he's got strat. Like my man had strat in it. I will say, like, we finished 3-1. Your boy won, but he's got some good strat.
I thought he won.
He won
told this whole story. He's like, yeah, he was low key good.
He was. I was surprised. But I'm an athlete.
You won on size. I think you won on size easy. I'm actually quite surprised that you won, considering Nick seems quite agile, like small but agile, can get around. I feel like you probably just hit him into the walls, and that's how you won.
No, there was no physicality. We played no blocking, so that was off the table. But Nick is nimble. Nimble Nick is what they call him out there, he said.
And it, my man was low frame, like low base, right? He's got like a low, tight base. He can really...
He really like, chops,
he would have been a fullback if he did steroids in college.
Yes. Kicks, you know how you say in the market you have to keep your feet chopping? Mm-hmm. Nick put that to work IRL. Like, guy was hitting some fire feet. If you ever had that workout or fast feet, whatever it was in high school sports, like, my man was just out there just chopping. Yeah. He was...
They called him the shuffleboard back in high school. That's how good he was.
Yeah, that's what they said. Yeah, the shuffleboard's crazy.
Well, but before we get started with today's show, ladies and gentlemen, I want to give a quick shout out to today's Bodago of the day, Trizzy Trunk. Trizzy is dropping an art piece today on Rarible. This is super exciting stuff. It is on the Rarible L3, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. But Trizzy's helped us record some content in Miami Art Basel back in 2022. The art piece is called Big Bloom. You can get it for about $13. The link for it is pinned up top. This looks fantastic. I'm going to get it.
Yeah, it looks great. It looks like the first time I did a research chemical.
I couldn't agree more. And I want to give a quick shout out to today's partner, Shrapnel, who's doing their very first STX 1 today. It starts today at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Nice. It's running Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's the STX-1, which is a shrapnel training exercise. You can play. Literally all you need is an extraction pack, which you can go buy at thenifty.com/shrapnel. There's up to $100,000 up for grabs in prizes, depending on how you do in the leaderboard. And guess what? We're also giving away a mouse pad or one of these like big keyboard pads. I don't know what the word
is. Oh my God.
It's called a mouse pad. It's a full size mouse pad. Full desk is what it is. Clemente's clearly not a gamer, Kicks.
Yeah, he's a first person shooters, dude. How are you going to do a 180 spin if you don't got the mouse pad to go all the way? You're going to go 90. You're going to have to lift up the mouse, take it back, go another 90. You're dead, bud.
People are loving this. And look, we're giving away 10 of these right now. We got a bunch more that we're going to give away. And we're giving Shrapnel a bunch of these to give away to people that play. So even just by playing, you can win one of these. We're very, very excited for it. People are eating this up right now. You can check out.
Can I buy it? Can I give you dollars or ETH or cryptocurrency for it?
No. This is I don't know if you know, but the Nifty is a nonprofit, actually. So we're not selling these.
I don't think you can legally say that. So the lawyers just called Clemente. Please do not say that. Do not repeat that sentence, for the love of God, dude. What? What the hell are you doing?
You're like in federal court. Well, Your Honor, it was obvious sarcasm.
February 8th at 9:13 a.m., he declared that they were a nonprofit. Like, what is wrong with you?
Zoom in on my eyebrows. You see how my eyebrows wiggle? Obviously not telling the truth.
I take it back. I retract it. Obviously.
Top or bottom bug, Clemente, because you better start deciding now.
Hey, Clemente, real talk on the side, though. I'm going to have to talk to you about how I can get my hands on one of those, because my current mouse pad is – that's amazing. That's incredible. I'd buy that off of eBay for $300.
Yeah, I like these are sick. These are sick. Our artist team absolutely crushes. It's Buddy running around with one of these, the G word, which I don't want to say for YouTube to de-boost this video. But anyways, we're super excited about it. You can go enter. It's super easy. Just check out the pinned tweet. Shout out to Shrapnel. We're going to be talking to Tony later on in the show about
Big T.
Big T is going to be talking to us. We're very excited. But Kicks, whenever you're ready, please take it away with the weather report. Let's kick this off.
You got it, Coach.
Today is Thursday, February 7th. ETH market volume, 25.5 million. That's not bad. Solana market volume, 9.2 million. We got Pudgies up to 17.5 with Little Pudgies following neck and neck. Utes are down 19%. Overworld Incarnate is up 20% off the bottom. And Nina's Supercat World is down 32%, 0.37 ETH. I don't even know what that is, but that sucks. ERC-404 tokens continue to be the latest craze, which allows NFTs and crypto to be traded interchangeably with NFTs representing 5 million of the fungible token. Pandora is up 115% to 11.2 ETH and was sitting below 0.5 ETH just 6 days ago, with the token up to $180 million market cap. God, you would think people like discovered a new type of mineral on Mars or something with the price action here. DeFrog's following a similar strategy, and the NFT is up 3x in the last 24 hours. Lastly, Froggy Friends announced that they would be doing an ERC-404 token, and the collection skyrocketed from 0.04 ETH to 0.3 ETH going into the snapshot. All right, you guys are just dumb. I'm just going out there on the record. All of you guys are dumb. Just random projects saying a word they didn't even know existed 4 days ago, and you're going at 10x. You guys are dumb. Over on Farcaster, the platform has reached another all-time high of daily users, this time reporting 40,000 daily active users yesterday. A marketplace for accounts to be bought and sold was also launched, with a high sale of 3 ETH for an account that had an ID under 5K, getting some ENS flashbacks over here, and an outstanding offer of 10 ETH is out for a username right now. Lastly, the cross-chain interoperability platform Wormhole has confirmed a token drop with the ticker W and released the tokenomics for it, including an 82% lockup that is unlocked over 4 years and 16% allocated to the community, with the founder teasing an allocation for users of the platform in the last 2 years. Lastly, we saw Bitcoin making some moves up to almost 45,000. ETH lagging behind, but still moving up. Solana just mirroring Bitcoin. It's kind of like Nick and Easy out on the squash courts. Other alts like Celestia, Cardano, and Say are also up 7 to 10% each. That is it for the weather report. Back to you in the studio.
Amazing, amazing. And welcome to the show, Bunny. Look at this guy. Kicks, we had we gave Bunny.
Wow, Bunny looks good today.
Looks fantastic.
He moved his camera back 10 feet. I can pretty much guarantee.
No, what happened was they gave me the lens that you're using. Dude, I don't know. This thing is like in your eyeballs, bro.
No, Kicks, it was way worse than yours. Like the only thing we saw was the like left side of his face and one nostril. That was it.
Like I can get like just my eyeballs in. That's about it.
I think you have pretty eyes.
Thank you.
Hey, shout out to FFV who said, I'm smoking a fat ass big booty blunt while listening to the Nifty Morning Show. FFV, do your thing, dude. I don't know what a big booty blunt is, but it sounds fantastic. Some updates from the Nifty Daily Digest. You can go subscribe at thenifty.com. We're rolling out some big things, some very, very fun initiatives on that you won't want to miss out. Go subscribe. It's also posted on X. First story, we had an SPL 22 tokens. Easy, if I'm saying this correctly.
SPL 22, correct, Clemente. That is correct.
SPL 22 tokens, basically the Solana version of these ERC 404.
We did it first, Clemente.
Okay, well, let me go with this. We had Ghost NFTs up to a 4.6 SOL floor. The SPL token is up 88% to a $16 million market cap in the last 24 hours. We also had the same thing. Similar price action on Vice is up to a 20 SOL floor. The corresponding token is up to a $4.2 million market cap, up 124% in the last 24 hours. So just mania all across the board. I can't wait to dive into that further. The next story, we had Tensor announce that there's a raffle to win a one-of-one D-God and one-of-one Tensorian. All you need to
not
do
a
is
D-God, walk. Clemente. Not a D-God.
A Mad Lad. Mad Lad, I apologize. It was an early morning for me writing these, but it was a Mad Lad and a Tensorian, both one of ones. There's ticket bonuses if you own a Tensorian, own a Mad Lad, or if you have traded a Tensor, traded on Tensor before. You can go check this out in the pinned tweet. Shout out to Tensor. Next story, the Arena, which was previously known as Stars Arena, announced a claim of 333 D-Gods badges. This is on AVAX. It was the upcoming Frentech competitor. They were acquired, if I'm not mistaken, easy by a team that I believe you're pretty bullish on. Anything
Rove World. They were acquired by Rove World. So if you're familiar with Rove World, they do a lot of the ticketing services, and they acquired Stars Arena right after all the shenanigans went down there. So honestly, I like this badge thing. I'm excited about it. I think it's pretty cool because now it's like you can figure out specific airdrops, some other cool things that can happen to select community members that get involved early. So very, very excited to continue to see this. Also, kind of an opportune time to drop this announcement with Warpcast gaining traction and Socialfy once again rearing its ugly head.
And you tweeted about that. I want to ask you more about that because I think it's very interesting what DGods is starting to do now. I think they're starting to find their niche. But next story, Solana Mobile announced that 85,000 pre-orders have been made for the Solana Saga. They're just crushing it. They're raking this in. I don't know who's buying this. I didn't know we had 85,000 people in here. But shout out to Solana Mobile. They're crushing it. They have a leaderboard snapshot happening today at 2 p.m. Eastern. Go check that out. But I believe we will continue to hear more of that. Next
story.
Let's go. We had Dimension is up to $7. It was trading pre-market OTC at $4 each. Kix, did you claim your airdrop for your Pudgy Penguin?
Not yet, man. I'm taking my time because as an American, when I hit that button, I got to sell immediately. And so I'm perfectly fine. Oh, wait, I got airdrop.
There's no button.
I got airdrop. I'm fine. I'm good, dude. Loophole, baby. I didn't touch it.
Yeah. Yeah. So it gets added to your wallet automatically. So if you connect to the Dimension RPC, it's just there.
Well, that's clearly under the Fifth Amendment, no unreasonable search and seizure. So I'm in the clear until I sell it. So I'm holding on to it very happily. I think I got 1,400, a nice little 10K. And it doesn't even feel good, to be honest, because there's so many other people making more money. And that's how I know we're in a bull market, that getting 10K for free doesn't even make me happy.
Kix, you took the action required. And Easy, if you can mute, I think we're getting some sound from you rubbing this, that.
Yeah, I went in and I clicked the button that said, wow, you get free money.
Got it. Because our very own PO forgot to.
That's just really dumb. How many times did we talk about it on the call? I mean, I feel bad. He's not dumb. That was just a lapse of. Yeah. I mean, it was dumb. I'm trying to sugarcoat it. You literally just had to hop on a quick flight out of the United States and then click some buttons. You know what? I'm going to take a little bit of responsibility, maybe 5%, and say, you know what? I should have reached out to PO. He's a busy guy. I should have reached out and made sure he did it.
You know what I thought was a little pudgy? Because I thought the little pudgies being part of Pudgy Penguins would also get some of the airdrop, but the little pudgy didn't get anything. So I'm just hoping that for the next airdrop, not that we know that it's coming, but you know, fingers crossed for the layer zero, obviously the little pudgies should be in there. And Easy, I took your non-financial advice and I sent my little pudgy all around the ecosystem, sending it everywhere. So collecting those magical tokens, hopefully.
You went on your layer zero tour.
I went on a layer zero tour. I got all the passports and I'm just waiting to get the cash back whenever it lands.
And Sig, I think you are on the wrong mic, but
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Enjoy that little pudgy signal. I sold all of mine at 0.3 ETH.
Good trade. Just in and out.
Luke back out some beans. Look at this guy.
All right, let's keep going. Let's keep going with this, please. Let's ignore that. Jupiter has removed all of the Jupe token from their whatever this pool was called. Easy, I have it written down, but DLMM pool was removed.
They still have
USDC in there, 63 million to be exact, which is going to be removed periodically.
Clemente, can we quickly talk about this too?
Please.
This is actually, in my opinion, bullish for Jupiter.
Tell me more.
Very bullish. So, in the way the DLMM pool works, USDC is the backstop. So as the price goes down, there's dollars backing it to basically make sure it doesn't go too low. And on the upside, you need Jupiter for people to be able to buy as price goes up. With them pulling Jupiter, the only way now for that price to be like bottlenecked at the top is if more people are selling into it. So it could theoretically run out of Jupe, causing aggressive price action on the upside, which I'm more interested to see because there's still a ton of USDC in it, but there's no Jupiter. So now you need people holding it to be selling it, which is why yesterday we actually saw a decent rally on Jupe. I think it had a 10% day yesterday, which is a pretty good sign. So I'm very curious to see price discovery and like some volatile price action on this from here.
I just got to add another piece of cash. Shout out to Phantom Wallet. I went into my wallet. People should do this. I went into my wallet and at the top, they have the notifications for like new features, etc. Mm-hmm. One of the notifications on mine was go claim your Jupe. And for a moment, I thought it was a scam. And then like I double checked again, went and got and collected Jupe. Free money this morning. I was like, bring on Jupe tokens. I'm going to buy some more as well just because I got some for free.
Basically, Ethereum developers didn't hire product designers because they're like, you know, elitist smart people. And they're like, oh, designers are dumb. We don't need them. And then like Solana hired people that actually know how to make like good product experiences. It was like.
But does it not make you think as well how many airdrops you've potentially missed just because your wallet doesn't tell you? Like, exactly. You have to proactively go out and go to URLs, which it says, okay, you can go and check all these wallets. Actually, there is.
Like Signal, you probably have some optimism. You probably have optimism. You have
no, effect. I know. I claimed optimism, but I think it's clusters now, which is going to enable you to put together all your wallet addresses across all the different platforms. Sorry, all the different protocols, and you'll actually be able to see which airdrops you are claimable across your different addresses. But I think just even having it in your wallet where MetaMask proactively tells you in the same way Phantom did would be such a winner, because I know I have stuff claimable, but I don't know where it is. Even if it's like $100, $200, it adds up when you have like 30 different wallets.
Facts.
Yeah. Hey, we all know Pio could have used it. You know what I'm saying?
All right, let's keep going. But yeah, easy. It's pretty much trading still in this 0.4 or 0.54, 0.55 range. I'm talking about the Jupiter token, but we'll see if it continues to run. I'm eyeing it here. It does look interesting, especially in this. Given that it's in a price discovery mode. But next story of the day here, let me just continue to run through these. Monero, I don't know if you guys are familiar with this, but
privacy coin.
Yeah, it's a privacy focused crypto token. It dumped 30% after Binance removed it from its exchange. Some interesting news there. I thought it was worth monitoring.
Yeah, you're not allowed to be private anymore.
Yeah. I apologize. Here we go. Jeez, my computer's just acting up slow. I realize that. Can you guys hear me still?
Yep. Yep. Reflections by Van Gogh.
Yeah. I apologize. My computer's acting up. I think I have too many pictures on my desktop, which is causing some bad.
I'm going to get you some more RAM, Chief.
From my TV, from my computer. But real quick, next story is on Mint related. We had Nice Aunties mint out a 1K collection for 0.17 each via a Dutch auction. Just interesting to watch there. Last story, we have Pebbles currently minting. This is the ArtBlocks ecosystem of ArtBlocks of the memes by 6529 ecosystem. It's worth tracking today. It's a 1K collection. It's minting for 0.06529 each. And you can check out a little bit more details from Punk6529 on it, why you should care about it. But this is something to monitor for today. Anyways, I'm sure you guys can see my computer still frozen. But I want to kick things off with all things DGods. Easy, I know you tweeted about it, that DGods seems to be getting their timing together for their for some of the announcements that they had. Obviously, we had Wormhole. Now we have Stars Arena or whatever the rebrand name is. What do you make of DGods and Ute right now and possibly these partnerships, more of them coming soon, given that DGods and Ute haven't really moved too much? Utes are now back down to their pre-Wormhole price.
Yeah, so I mean, we saw Utes actually rally to 0.7. So they did get some legs there. But the bigger thing that happened was a whale dumped like 90 of them on that rally and just decided to exit. He was like, yeah, peace, kid. Like, I'm out. I think that they timed the announcement very well, personally, because it was like Dimension hit everyone's wallet and then they dropped this, where it was like, oh, you like Dimension?
Ladies and gentlemen, I apologize for the lack of professionalism here on my end.
He's got the shaky squash hands, man.
Dude, my hands are sore. So they dropped that right when Dimension hit everyone's wallet, and we're like, now we got Wormhole, which is like, oh, damn, okay, another stimmy coming. This is huge. This is a big deal. So I think they planned it perfectly, but now, like, what's next is obviously the big concern. Is like, they did badges with Star Arena to get people excited and get people into that side of things. So like, you're starting to see them hit a stride here where they're back on social media, which is where they've been doing great. And obviously we did see that guy Bear on Twitter comment about Kevin DGods no longer having the team role in Discord, which caused some a kerfuffle, if you will. Great word. Kerfuffle is such a good word. But basically that caused a little bit of some sentiment on the timeline. And then these announcements just overshadowed all of it. So everyone's just like, oh, who cares? We got free money. We're done with it. No one gives a shit. And kept it pushing. So well done by the DGods team to kind of just drive some positive price action and excitement.
Kix, anything to add here? You're muted. Anything to add here, Kix? D-Gods related on what Easy covered?
No, I think he summed it up great. I was just saying, shocker, sometimes people leave companies. You know, like I think sometimes people feel like Web3 companies is like a lifelong indentured servitude, you know, versus like maybe Kevin had a good time for 2-3 years and is moving on to the next chapter of his life. Like, who cares? Good for him. And I'm sure Frank and D guys will do fine. But yeah, they're strumming up some partnerships. I think that's what they really got to lean into, you know, the strong partnerships. I think about like their coolest things. Like, remember when they had those like go bags at that one event, right? Everyone got those sick go bags, right? Like, you know, instead of trying to build a metaverse, I feel like, you know, that stuff is a lot more.
I even liked how at NFT NYC, I think it was last year, right? They rented out the whole hotel. All the holders stayed together. It was like a huge party. They made profit on
that
whole ordeal. And it was like a good time for everybody.
I seem to forget sometimes, but at April of last year during NFT NYC, D-Gods were literally like the coolest possible thing that existed. I briefly saw Frank at one of these events, and the guy was swarmed by literally 15 people. This guy was like a freaking rock star. It was absurd, and people have seemed to kind of forgotten that that possibility of them making that comeback could still be there if possibly Frank is, again, having a little bit more in charge. Again, I don't know, but if partnerships, which seem to be Frank's strength, continue to line up and they continue to explore this, given how active Utes and D-Gods holders are. This could be very interesting to see Utes possibly make a comeback here.
There was such a demand for their IRL events that at NYC, I remember when we were leaving, they were over capacity. There was like 30 to 40 people just standing immediately outside the elevator waiting for people to leave the event so that they could get in.
Yeah. We'll see how this plays out. It is fun to be talking about Utes and D-Gods again. It feels like we haven't really talked about them in the last like 3-4 months, and it possibly feels like they're getting their identity back. They're getting their swagger back, you know? I think I got my swagger back. So I want to talk Pudgy Penguins here. We saw them just randomly pump 15% out of the blue. Kix, you own a big Pudgy, and I think most of us own a big Pudgy in this panel, myself not included. I don't know about Bunny. Kix, what'd you make of the recent price action on Pudgy Penguins? It feels like possibly some of the DIM airdrop liquidity was plugged back into the ecosystem. I'm curious your thoughts on Pudgy Penguins here.
Could be, man. One thing I learned in the last bull run with like Bored Apes is that, you know, if you're watching the charts too closely, you're just gonna overtrade, right? Or you're gonna think you found the top. I'm not gonna sell a Pudgy unless it's over 100 grand. You know, then that's like, that's an after taxes, I could still buy a new car in cash with that. So that's when I would probably be, you know, swapping down to a little, if you know what I mean.
You up one, right?
Yeah. I actually had two, and then I sold it like an idiot. Because now I'm in the worst position you can be as a holder of an NFT that's worth a lot of money. You only have one. So you're either in or you're out. There's no divesting. You're either in the club or you're out of the club. So. But
you can, like you were saying, possibly sell one, like reduce your exposure by selling the big Pudgy and like buying five little Pudgies, for example.
Yeah. Cause at the end of the day, like I love Pudgies. I think they're a great profile pick. I bought it down at like the 3 to 4 ETH range because I just thought it was a cool story. Spencer was talking about them.
Tell the truth. It was because you lost a shit ton of money on your Moonbird. You didn't want to have your Moonbird anymore. And you were like, what else can I use? And that's why you picked the big Pudgy.
That's probably more of a driver. I felt like, I was like, man, this Moonbird, it's not a good look anymore. You know what I mean? It's not even like vintage antique. It's not even like driving around a 2001 Corolla. It's just like not cool. So I swapped it out and then price went up. And I didn't, it's not like I thought price was going to go up. Else I would have bought 10, right, Zig? But I got one. It's worth some money. I'm more happy I got the DIM airdrop for free because that's a free 10K. So hold on to this and maybe get some Bored Ape Yacht Club style airdrops like I missed the boat on last cycle. So I'm a happy holder.
Just if you got a DIM airdrop and then you immediately cycled it back into more NFTs, like you legitimately need therapy, right? So anytime there's a random pump of an NFT, it's 99% chance that it's just inside information, right? So I'm sure the Pudgies will come out with like some dope announcement in like a week or two. And then we'll be like, that's why it went up.
Yeah. I don't think he's completely out to lunch, though, right? But at the moment, Bunny, normally I would agree with you on that statement, because we're starting to see that certain NFT projects are getting these airdrops. So if you like get an airdrop, say DIM, and then you cycle that money back into other NFT collections, which are potentially going to get future airdrops, you could like probably make off quite nicely at the end of this year going into 2025 as well. Normally, like if it was last year, I would have just like with Bonk, I just sold that like straight away. And I'm regretting it now, to be honest. I should have held on to my Bonk. But I do think like some of these airdrops, you can just basically staking it is the move. Buying into whatever your major convictions are, whether that's Bitcoin, ETH, Solana, like say whatever it is, that's a move there. And then also taking some profit. I think with the airdrops this year, it's not as just simple as get it, wait 48 hours and then like dump it. I think there's certain strategies, certain sort of more complex strategies people should be looking at, because there'll definitely be compounding effects if you go on to stake and a specific airdrop token, and then that yields you more.
Yeah, like I don't even know what DIM is, and that's bullish. If you know what something is, then you can conceptualize a appropriate price. I think it's some sort of celestial modular, like decentralized. Easy.
What's the story here, and can you do it in your Helium voice, please? Give us a story on a dimension and why you haven't been able to sell it yet. What's the story here?
Yeah, so great conversation point here, Clemente. DIM or Dimension is an L2 that seemingly struggled at the gate considering the RPC collapsed. So we've been in this rather volatile situation in which no one's able to send the money, receive the money. Many people lost the money because they sent it to God only knows where, and it was a variety of centralized exchanges. It's handling roll-ups, so what that actually means is, like, easier transactions.
Yeah, you're rolling it up.
Fun fact, none of the transactions worked, so here we are! Woo! Yeah, kind of a tough situation to be in, Chief, and here we are.
I'm sure it has something to do with data activation, too, right?
No, dimension, because when you transfer the money and you don't see it again, it's in another dimension. That's where they get you. That's where they get you. So yeah, I don't know where to actually transfer it. Let's try another voice here as we talk about my current situation.
How's this one?
Yeah.
Let's go with this one. Okay.
Yeah. We'll getting outfitted by a 4-year-old.
Yeah. Four-year-old Easy, what's the story here? What's your situation on DIM right now? Are you planning on selling it? What's your story?
So I hold 2,000 of it. And I don't know what to do with it. I physically have no idea where to send it. Multiple people tell me to go to Mexi. I'm like, yeah, that's terrifying. Because Mexi just sometimes takes people's money. And obviously, I don't want that to happen. So here I am, trying to figure out what's going to happen with it. I'm holding my 2,000, and I don't know what to do with it. So I look
Easy.
At it.
I had an idea for someone out there, right? Mm-hmm. Since it's so hard to sell, someone should middleman the selling to Mexi and take a 10% cut. I would take that. Like, oh,
so
okay.
Somebody did offer me that. Someone did offer me that. I've aged a lot in this few minutes here. And yeah, I'm in a little bit of a kerfuffle myself. I don't actually know what to do with this money.
I'm nut hair over there, buddy. Huh?
Yeah, it's DIM has aged me.
He experienced puberty. Well, thank you.
He took his first gravity bomb.
Thank you, 80-year-old Easy. I appreciate the analysis there. The audience.
The worst part is I can't hear any of those voices. So you guys are all dying, and I can't hear it back in the headphones like on a Rodecaster. I had this other much smaller audio mixer that I just sent to Nick, actually, and was like, dude, this thing like actually works. I'm shocked. It works pretty well. Like, I'm on the go. The box is the size of my hand, so I can actually get a quality mic instead of that headset I was on.
Yeah, you sound fantastic. This is great. I want to move on, but still on the crypto token side. Kix, have you been caught up to speed on the ERC-404 situation at all?
Nah, I give zero shits about that. I think it's cool. People are like, oh man, yeah, let's ramp it up to the fucking moon. I think the actual underlying technology is pretty interesting. I think there's some gaming applications, right, where you could like high supply kind of things. Like, I mean, yeah, in theory it's really cool. I'm glad people made money on it, but like, I'm not buying the shit for fucking 11 ETH. I don't know. No. Like what? You know what I mean? Like it's not like are we gonna do this every time there's a new type of
ERC technology or something like that, people are gonna be like, oh man, this is fucking groundbreaking. This first thing that was created on this is gonna be worth $1 billion one day. I mean, everybody wants a narrative to trade, and people like to trade. So I don't hate on that. I respect that. But I have a feeling like 6 months from now, we're not gonna be like, so man, you check out the ERC-404 collections today. I don't think that's gonna be the case.
Yeah. Easy, in your normal voice, real quick, can you give an explanation for someone that might be unfamiliar of what the ERC-404 token is, the SPL-22, given that they're pretty similar, and maybe what the story is here, if you are familiar with the subject?
Dude, to be honest, I've spent a little bit of time researching it, and it just kind of confuses me. Like, it's like you fractionalize a token that's now on chain, and
it like combined the ERC-20 with the 721, right? So,
but what does that mean?
Go back and forth. Like, so you can basically be like, you can mint an NFT with the token, or you can burn the NFT and get tokens.
So it's basically like a flooring protocol.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like,
flooring protocol.
Yeah, it's not like we just discovered affordable travel to Mars. Like, this has been done before.
Because I looked into this yesterday. I got a DM from somebody who handles like perpetuals, and they were like, "What are your thoughts on 404s?" I was like, can you just send me some documentation? I was reading through it, and that was what I saw. I was like, okay, so I can burn tokens for the NFT or burn the NFT for tokens. Isn't that flooring protocol? Like, what is literally the main difference here, if anything? And I couldn't see any major difference besides now there's like a protocol name for it, whereas flooring protocol is just like a redemption pool. So like, that's where I was really confused. The SPL-22 thing was like even more confusing, to be honest. Because I don't think you can go from token to NFT there. I think it's just NFT to token. So I was like, there's a bunch of stuff that like I still want to do a little more research to fully get it. But all in all, man, like, why?
Yeah, literally, I think why? A lot of time in this space, people like to like trade the idea of tech more than like an actual product. You know, and that's probably what we're seeing here. Also, price go up. That's all that really matters. Well, price go up, it's more interesting.
We saw those turtles announce that they were doing an ERC-404, and it went up from 0.03 ETH to 0.3 in a matter of hours, basically. So you saw 10x on that. If not, no, it was 100x. So shout out to anyone that got into that. But I don't know specific. So I'm having our head of research now. We now have a research team, ladies and gentlemen. He's saying that the flooring protocol is a redemption. The 404 is a remit. So you get a brand new NFT that comes with it. For example, so it's constantly evolving the NFT pool with it. And the Pandora token, for example, that represent the NFT represents 5 million of the Pandora ERC, whatever it is, token. I don't want to cover this too much if we don't have like, we're very zoomed in and locked in on exactly what it means. But it is interesting. Either way, it's causing some interesting price action on the NFT market right now, and it's worth monitoring.
Yeah, even I don't know if you saw Froggy Friends, but they announced that they're doing a 404 project.
I thought it was turtles.
Immediately.
Is that the D-God frogs?
No, those are the D-Frogs. These are Froggy Friends. It was like an old collection from way back when that hadn't seen a sale in a very long time.
Yeah, you've definitely seen
I know Froggy Friends, yeah, but what's with the D-God frog things pump too?
Well, they're probably not doing anything, right?
No, they're doing a 404.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Are you sure you're not confusing the frog? You're telling me there's two frog projects.
They're doing 404s.
Look at these.
Dude, they're 1.2 ETH.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are.
Yes, and selling.
What the fuck?
Yeah, dude. None of it makes any sense anymore.
The art on that kind of slaps, though.
High key, dude. That's a good frog, man. Look at that eye. That's high quality, dude. The Louvre cult, they want their main piece back.
I mean, when you see like the decision IQ going downhill, I think it's actually bullish.
It is an increase in liquidity as well, which is also interesting to monitor. But
be honest, I posted something about this. I was like, some of the best traders, when they just don't get something, they just go buy it. Because if they don't understand it, that means most of the rest of the world doesn't understand it. And when everyone understands it, it's already past its pump.
It's like, kind of like magic. Like, you don't know how magic trick works. It makes it beautiful, right? So if someone doesn't understand how something like an NFT,
when they pull a rabbit out of the hat.
Dude, you ever see like the TikTok that explains the magic trick? It'll ruin your whole life.
All right. Moving on. Easy. Very quickly. I know we briefly touched on Jupiter earlier today or earlier on the show. Last week, we were talking pre-launch of Jupiter. And We were talking about the potential trickle-down effects it could have on meme coins, Solana NFTs, etc. It feels like this was kind of a non-event, but I'm curious what you make of the Solana NFT ecosystem, if we'll see any sort of trickle-down effect, and kind of what you're watching for, because it feels kind of quiet.
Yeah, I mean, dude, the whole ecosystem kind of feels quiet, to be honest. Like, NFTs in general just kind of feel like laggard, I would say. Like, a lot of people are waiting. Even, like, the gaming token meta that had its run has really cooled off. Like, dude, Overworld's down to an ETH. Like, they're down 50% from highs, which is, like, and that was, like, on the back of these tokens. Mavia is doing okay-ish, I guess. That's another one that has that. But, like, that's on the back of a million app downloads is what people are saying, or a million users. So, like, the gaming meta is still there on ETH, which is, like, the mainstay interest, besides, like, Pudgies doing whatever the hell Pudgies are doing. Yuga's dropping, like,
spoiler alert, they don't have a million users.
Oh, shocker, right? Yeah, there's an airdrop. There's no way
that's fucking real.
There's probably 10,000 users with 1,000 wallets each.
Someone told me they had a million users, and I looked, and there was 67 reviews on the app. And I was just like, what's the percentage conversion on that?
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's a tough part too. But then, like, I look at Sol NFTs right now, and the what, like, dude, Solana volume was up like 18% over 24 hours. And I was asking a bunch of people, like, are you trading anything? And they're like, no. I was like, where's this volume coming from?
Well, easy. Weren't you looking at the Magic Eden numbers the other day, and like the percentage of the market share has gone up, like in the last few weeks, considering they announced their up and coming token. So that could probably explain where some of the volume is coming in. But I wanted to ask you about Jupiter. Do you think, like, given they're going to be the launch pad for other projects, it's worth just having a bag of Jupiter in case other projects decide to allocate to Jupiter holders?
So it's not even that they decide to allocate. Jupiter's come out and said that the DAO, which I think is going to end up being some level of like staking Jupe into the governance pool, will give you access to these future ones. And they just announced the next three that'll potentially be on Jupiter's LFG launch pad. And SharkyFi is one of the finalists for that with their Shark token. That's one I think that will do really well. And if it's launched on this, these DLMM pools kind of let you as a token creator figure out downside risk. So like, you're going to find one of these people who's just some giga brain who figures out how to send these tokens to like literally sky high. Like, they're going to get tricky and wonky with some of these DLMM pools and like where they provide their own liquidity and just giga send these tokens.
Advanced Ponzinomics, right?
Like, yeah, like Ben.eth type stuff. Like, that's the thing, is like, they'll find a way to just do everything that's completely morally wrong and pump the hell out of the token, which if you have a bag of Jupe, you may as well participate, get some free airdrops from some of this stuff, and just make money on it. Like, that's like, I still have a good chunk of my Jupe. I haven't sold all of it. I think I've sold like, I'm up to like 60% that I've kind of scaled out now, especially on yesterday's pump, because I really wanted to see what would happen when they pulled it. But now it's like, I kind of want to take a good percentage of it, spread it out across a couple wallets, and stake it whenever that becomes available to try to qualify on a few wallets for some allocation of whatever the next token is.
I like that move. I think it's a very good move to stake some of the Jupe, because there's definitely going to be stuff coming for holders later on in the future. I'm definitely keeping an eye on the Jupiter ecosystem and going to be adding more to my bag and staking it.
So you have bought Signal, or was that just...
No, I didn't buy. I claimed. I didn't even know that I had any Jupiter. I was like, oh, what? You know, like, and that's another thing. You don't like the criteria for some of these airdrops. You don't actually know why your wallet qualified. I still don't know why I have a Jupiter allocation. I'm guessing it's from doing some trading on like Magic Eden, but maybe I've used some other platforms. I'm not really sure. I don't care. I got free money. But the point is, I'm going to be adding to my bag, because just like, I'm also very bullish on Meow after hearing him last week and what they're trying to build over there. So it's more that I'm interested in investing in him and his team, because I just don't think that like that is a team that's going to be disappearing over the next 12 to 24 months. And I definitely think they have more runway and more upside. So that's why I'm going to be buying more.
He cares a lot. And that's the best part, is like, when you see a founder who cares a lot, it's tough to fade that. And he genuinely cares. And I'm like, dude, it's good to hear him. He's rolling with the punches, which you don't get often. Like, a lot of people are like, this sucks, da-da-da. He's just, like, laughing at it. He's like, dude, we're just trying shit. See what happens. We're doing a ton of volume. It's fucking sick. Let's go. It's like, dude, your tone and excitement is just so much fun. Like, you genuinely are happy about this, and it's so cool to see a founder just have this, like, burning passion to just take over from some vertical. And I think that if you read, like, me, I'll post some really long posts, like, really, really long posts, and nobody in this space reads. Like, not a single human being. I would say, like, less than 0.01% of people actually read the full thing. And I read his whole thing. Like, I was like, oh, damn, okay. And he broke down the whole DAO. And I think there's a lot of interesting opportunities there because they're dumping the fees into the DAO to reward people. So I think even if you miss the Jupiter airdrop, figure out how to get some of that DAO allocation, whether it's videos, threads, posts. Like, how do you continue to amplify Jupiter's message? And I think that they're going to be doing some stuff on that. And I think that's really interesting to me. Because, like, he wants to continue to grow and reward people that use Sol. And, Sig, to your point, it was basically, like, if you use Sol over the last 2 years before, like, September, you got a minimum amount. And if you did any sort of volume in the wallet, you ended up getting, like, a tier up. So, like, they were pretty good about giving not a ton, but enough to make you be like, oh, this is sweet. Like, this is pretty cool, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely worth exploring more. And there's just an opportunity to make money with it if you have the time, which... Yeah, if it's worth exploring, learning more, and possibly specializing in something like this, given that Meow is going to be very active and possibly make some opportunities in the future. Before we move on to the next piece with Kicks, I want to give a quick shout out to Shrapnel, the partner of today's show, the official gaming partner of Bodagos and the Nifty. They are doing their STX1 today, which is their very first Shrapnel training exercise. It starts today. It runs from today until Saturday. Starts at 4 p.m. Eastern today and ends on a daily basis at midnight. So definitely worth checking out. There's $100,000 in Shrap token up for grabs that you can get depending on your placement in the leaderboard. To participate, you can go to get an extraction pack, which is the way to participate. You can go to thenifty.com/shrapnel. But other than that, you don't need anything else. And you can get for participating, just participating. You're going to be entered to win this very, very cool as Easy was calling it, a full mouse pad, which features a Bodago in it. You can also enter to win one of 10 that we're also giving away. Check out the pinned tweet to learn more. Kicks, last thing before we wrap up with you, I'm very curious what you make of just current market conditions, both on the crypto and NFT side. Have you bought anything recently? I know you stacked some Blur and you've been pretty bullish on that. Gaming has seemingly slowed down, like Easy was saying, but I'm curious what you make of where we're at right now.
Yeah. I'm still holding stake in the Blur. I still have a big bag of Ronin. I took out my initial on Ronin at like 180. It's at like 250, 60 right now. I went on a crazy run up to like 340. I think so. We're in like a healthy retracement right now. But I'm holding Ronin as my primary gaming play right now, just because if the overall sector moves up, I know Ronin is going to be like a high beta expression of that. So I'm happy holding that bag there. But in terms of just like general market conditions, I'm not really buying. It even kind of stinks. Like what I'm really looking for is like a Wolf Came kind of fair launch out of the gate, right? Because like even stuff like Mavia that you want to like, you're like, cool, new project. It opens at 100 million circulating. 1 billion FTV for a mobile game, right? And it's just like, it's so hard for me to like buy it there. Maybe so it runs to 300. If that runs to 300, Ronin's going to 3 billion. So I'll just hold my Ronin, right? I feel like we're sort of like, you remember in the craziness of 2021, there was like this famous CNBC interview with this guy who is a smart guy. His name's like Mike Mervini, but he was talking about Upstart on CNBC. And he's like, yeah, we bought this 4 days ago. The chart's looking really good. We're up 20% right now. And the anchor man asks, so what does Upstart do? And he starts to just fumble on his words and then like fakes like his internet connection goes off. It's like infamous, right? That's where I feel like we're at sort of in the crypto space, right? Like whenever I ask people about stuff, right, it's all anchored on price, right? It'd be like if you ask someone like, what's Tesla do? And it's like, well, their cars are 50 grand and their stock price is $200. It's like, okay, but like, what does it actually do? What's like actually exciting? So I'm trying to surf around for stuff that is people are actually working on something interesting. So like, for example, Parallel, right? They're doing the whole Colony thing with AI and stuff like that. That's one of those gaming plays when I like think about like, that's something that I could buy and believe in versus just like buy to make price go up. And I think when you anchor yourself with stuff you believe in, make a little better. Another example is like Super Oracles. Their token's going live this year or this month. They're a competitor to Chainlink. So they do Oracle feeds. They do BRF, which is like randomness calls, right? So like on chain, you need a lot of randomness calls. So for our subnet tilt yard, we're using super oracles for all of the randomness in our game, right? And I think they're going to come out the gate at like 500 million and Chainlink's like 15 or 20 billion. So I'm looking at plays like that. Full disclosure, we did buy some of that token for the business. But yeah, man, it just doesn't, I think what we need, and we're starting to see a little bit of it right now, is we really need the majors to move up, right? So we need Bitcoin to move up. We need Solana to move up, AVAX move up, Ethereum move up. If everyone remembers, in October, those were the coins that moved up, right? And they made big moves first. And then after that is when you saw the gaming explosion and you saw like NFTs on Solana absolutely blow up in November, December, right? That's the cycle we generally see. So until we have Bitcoin go to like 60K, I think that's what ignites a lot of excitement everywhere else. But yeah, specifically in the gaming sector, there's just so many new things happening, right? And they're all coming out at these really big valuations. It's just like, if you watched Wonka, you know, the police officer keeps eating the chocolate, eventually you can't get out of the car. That's what I feel like, you know, there's too much chocolate right now.
It feels... Compared to like literally,
which iteration of Wonka did that happen in? There's
brand
police.
New one. Timothy Charmelain, the Dune guy, huge fan.
And what's his name?
Timothy Charmelain, and he's in a phenomenal Wonka. He plays a great Wonka. It's my favorite Wonka.
I don't think
ever.
That's his name.
Yeah, it's Timothy Charmelain. Timothy Charmelain, the god. So Kix, before we, I know you have to leave. You have a hard stop at 10. Easy has been talking about on the show. He expects kind of crypto to chop going into the election, Q3, Q4. If that does happen, do you feel like then everything else might chop, or we might not see any major movement on some of these gaming tokens? That you're
I think that's a pretty good thesis. Like, especially if, I don't know, if you're trying to trade it like it's going to be like last year. Like I pulled up Bitcoin on the monthly, and I mean, it could start spiking crazy. It's definitely a potential, but like we're at the top end of the Bollinger band. So we would really need some big bullishness, I think, basically if stocks go on, some people have been saying like, this is going to be the internet bubble all over again, right? If stocks go absolutely bananas, then crypto will just go bananas with it. Price action, technical action aside. But I would not be surprised if, like Easy said, things chop for a while, because we have had crazy moves up. Like we've had really significant moves up. I think if things chop for a while on the alt side, you'll see a decent amount of stuff slow bleed out, but some of the things will pump like crazy. And also I think we'll get NFT action like goblins and stuff like that, or this stupid ERC-404 stuff. That's like, there'll still be plays to be had, but if Easy is right in the majors chop, I don't think it's like a party everywhere else. I think it's probably boring. I've said that gaming needs like a 3-month cooldown, bare minimum. And
it so feels like we're having that right now. I mean, I bought the top of Immutable. I'm down like 40% on that buy. But I'm
really?
I don't mind holding it. I don't mind holding
Immutable is a good play. I mean, definitely bought the highest market cap gaming coin in existence at $3 billion. So what you bought it like?
Yeah, but it's an infrastructure play. Like you're not like it's not a game. You're betting on infrastructure. So like if gaming tokens go up, then that feels like it should also go up.
Yeah, IMX is like the Bitcoin of gaming. Like you're not going to get a 100x return off of it.
Yeah, but you'll get honest, hardworking 20-30% gains. Like honestly, you're better off just buying like Robinhood stock. Shout out Pia.
I would hold that Clemente also because I think Pixelmon's going to Immutable, and they bagged Treeverse going to Immutable. So they made some big publisher acquisitions.
Yeah, but Pixelmon not going with ticker Kevin. I mean, dude, that's like really been bothering me.
Borderline catastrophic. I think I would call that move. They went with Mon, which is just
it's not even a word that gets you excited.
No,
right? Like you need a word that razzes you up. Kevin, that razzes me up.
Kev gets me fired up. Big Kev gets me fired up. Kevaruni, before we wrap this up,
I'm long, Kevin.
All right. what Kix? The one thing I wanted to throw in here is the S&P continues to make new all-time highs. Uh-huh. It's up year to date. It's up 5%. It's continuing to rally. 5% for the S&P is a pretty big jump in just 1 month. But
other than literally yesterday, we hadn't really seen too much movement in crypto. I'm just curious if what you make of that, the action with stocks right now. It's, they're continuing to rally, but crypto hasn't really followed as like a risk on asset, possibly decoupling a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I think crypto more represents, is more correlated to the smaller cap stocks than like the Mag 7 or whatever they're calling it these days, right? Like it's more correlated, just pulling a thing out of my hat, like it's more correlated to how like Carvana is doing than it's correlated to how Apple is doing, because it's a higher risk sort of tech correlated play. And like the Carvanas and stuff like that made the crazy moves up earlier last year when Bitcoin and all that did the same. I mean, I don't know. The S&P, yes, it's up all-time highs. If you adjust for inflation, it is not past all-time highs, right? And so if you're worried about a 1970s Chop-esque style, if you look at the 1970s graph of the S&P or whatever, it looks like you're up 30-40%, but you're actually down 30-40% in real terms because you got chopped to death by inflation. So we'll have to see what really plays out there. But I mean, it definitely, here's the beauty of American 401ks, man. That money comes out of the paycheck every month and goes right into the stock market, right? So being perpetually bearish on the stock market is probably not the smartest play, but I feel fine right now. I don't feel like I'm not trying to sell things or anything like that. Dude, I finally hit long-term capital gains on ETH. It's my first ever long-term capital gains in crypto. I usually sell everything like it's crazy. That's the first time I ever
December hit. Was my first one for Solana. It feels good, dude.
Feels good, right?
Feels good. I feel old. I feel
you're
old.
You're almost happy to pay taxes. You're like 20%.
I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm an old man. I got my Solana. It's been a long journey. Honest hard work of bag holding this soul. We're gonna pay 15% instead of 30%, and it ain't much. It ain't
and
much.
Guess what? You're in Florida now, so you're not paying any income
wow.
tax.
Wow!
Get out of here with that income tax.
Listen, dude, I'm retired down here. As you can tell, it's been a long journey.
He said, "OX Wilby said you sound like Frank." I agree. You do sound like a little Frank X, and Easy can't even hear himself talk. But.
Just wait till the next announcement. Just wait.
Yeah, and I got to bounce Clemente. But you said you had on your note card, blur, blast. I think if you're looking for like the next narrative wave kind of thing where there's going to be a lot of action, that's the easiest. That's like the easiest play in the world right there is when blast launches, it's going to be exciting. Load some money in now. Be like, okay, I'm going to take a couple of my ETH, load it in blast right now. That's going to be my degen blast money. There's lots of speculation that a lot of the protocols launching are going to reward their users with all of the blast allocation they get. Some will incentivize blast stakers with just like an airdrop to get into their protocol, right? So, and a lot of people hate blur and blast. They just do. It's not logical in my opinion, because I think that Pac-Man is one of the best entrepreneurs in this space. He just absolutely demolished OpenSea, right? And now he's going to go build an L2. And people are mad because they held NFTs and price went down. And obviously it's Blur's fault. So whenever you have something where you have someone that's working really hard and is going to do something really innovative and half of the space hates them, easiest play in the world. Easiest play.
I couldn't agree with you more on that. I'm very excited for Blast. It's going to be some airdrop farming craziness. I think we're going to see it at the peak mania coming. But Kix, I want to talk to you more about that next time you're on the show, because I think there's a little bit more to dive into there. But thanks so much for joining. Fantastic as usual. Follow Kix at Speculator Art on Twitter, everyone. Thanks again, Kix.
Thanks. See ya.
Bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have the one and only Tony joining us live from the Shrapnel office. I think this is a
great treat. This is a great treat, Clemente. We got rid of Kix, brought in Tony.
Yeah. This is Tony. It's great to see you. It is nice and early over in Seattle, but I appreciate you joining us ahead of the Shrapnel playtest, or not the playtest, the STX1 happening today. Your little banner, your headline threw me off a little bit, but it's great to see you, Tony. Very quickly, for anyone that's unfamiliar with STX1 and what you guys are doing today, tomorrow, and Saturday, can you give us like a super quick 60-second rundown? Yeah, he's muted. Hold on, we're getting the here we go.
I was just changing my name so it wasn't confusing. So the playtest is happening today, folks. It is happening today in God, like 5 hours or 6 hours or something crazy like that. It starts at 1 o'clock. It goes to 9 o'clock today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Anyone who has an extraction pack can download the game from the Epic Game Store now and start playing at 1 o'clock. We will have live leaderboards going live later today sometime on the website. We'll tweet it out. But basically, as you extract after every match within a few minutes, dev team's going to fucking kill me. I think they told me I'm supposed to say within 30 minutes, but I think it's within a few minutes. The amount of Sigma that you extracted will be updated on a live leaderboard on the website. And the top 1,000 people who extract Sigma will receive payout in the form of Shrap tokens. So I think first place is set at like $10,000. Second place is set at like $5,000. And then it goes all the way down to the top 1,000 people. I think everyone makes like 50 or 75 bucks if you make the leaderboard at all. If you see any Shrapnel employees on the leaderboard, know that we will yeet their prizes directly to someone else, but we are going to let them compete and talk shit and see where they land. But if they win anything, we're gonna just pass
I'm
it on.
I'm coming for Dub, bro. He's been hanging out in that park too long. I'm after him, dude. He's taking a claim there. It's game over for the guy.
See, you know, I love one of the things I love about Dub so much is this is his first time working, I think, at like a real game studio with like people that have shipped video games for, you know, 20 years and shit. And he came up to me like last week and he was like, "Hey, man, so I know the playtests are like 8 hours from 1 to 9 p.m. And I thought he was going to be like, "Hey, you know, can I work from home or can I come in later or whatever?" And I was, you know, of course, like, whatever, dude, the fucking 1 to 9 p.m., do whatever the fuck you want. And he's like, "So for work, am I allowed to just like play the video game for 8 hours? And I was like, "Yes, 100%. You can sit at that fucking desk and play the game from 1 to 9 p.m. for 3 days straight. And then we would love that." So I think Dub is going to be like cracked by Saturday. He's just going to be like hallucinating and delirious. It's going to be wonderful.
Dude, he's going to wake up at noon, 12:50, sit down at 1, and be good to go. Like, I hope there's a couch in the office for the guy because he's not leaving. He's not 100%,
leaving. 100%. You know, he got an apartment like within walking distance. Horrible mistake.
Tony, to someone, I'm more of a beginner on the gaming side. I'm a simpleton when it comes to gaming. Can you walk me through like how this works? So in terms of how the game, so if 1 p.m. for example, or when this launched 1 p.m. Eastern, I log on, I download the game through Epic Games. I have an extraction pack. How frequently do these, like, is it a battle that goes on when you can go in and extract? Is it everyone a free for all? Are there different servers that are limited to like 100 players per? Can you just explain that a little bit further?
Yeah, you know, I jumped right in. I didn't even talk about the game. So, it's 1 p.m. Pacific to 9 p.m. Pacific. It's never with an 8 hour window, it's never going to be great for everyone in the world. So we kind of optimized for where we have the most players right now. Going back to your question, the game is an extraction shooter. And so what that means is it's similar to like Escape from Tarkov or the DMZ in Call of Duty or the Dark Zone in The Division. And what that means is the user has like a persistent inventory that lives outside of every game session. And then they choose what items they want to bring into each game session, what weapons, you know, what have you. And then if you die, you lose all your shit. People can either steal it from you or if you die, it just, you know, stays on the map and your body remains a corpse and people can loot it later. The idea is that throughout the course of each match, which can last depending how good you are, between 10 and 4 and, you know, 40 minutes, depending on, again, the players on the map and how good they are. You're running around, you're shooting people, you're looting boxes and dead bodies for better weapons and equipment. And then periodically, the lore of the game is that in the near future, an asteroid strikes the moon and just shatters the moon. And the debris starts raining down on the Earth and creating these zones that are not super habitable. And so in these zones, they start finding this green rock that we end up calling Sigma, because that was the name of the asteroid that hit the moon, Sigma 38. The MacGuffin, the Sigma, ends up being like super valuable. And so every match you're trying to actually like pick Sigma up off the ground as it rains from the sky. The Sigma is represented by a number 1 through 1,000 or whatever. And every match there are 3 different points in the match that you can run to a dropship basically with a certain number of seats in it and extract from the game with whatever gear or new loot you've gotten and however much Sigma this MacGuffin that you've managed to pick up. And so throughout the course of these 3 days from 1 to 9 p.m. Pacific, everyone who's playing the game and extracting with Sigma, we will tally their Sigma, the number of Sigma that they've extracted, and put that on the live leaderboard, and that's what drives the pricing. Sorry, I was so excited, I just jumped right in. And well, Bunny, awesome. Did I see that we're joined by a little buddy? Is that your little buddy?
Yeah, it's my daughter. She's hanging out.
Oh, hey, what's up, friend? Your dad is real cool, you know that? He's talking to like 500 people right now, and they're all super excited to hear from him.
He's not that cool.
Oh, listen to you, Easy.
I heard Bunny's daughter's going to be playing Shrap, the play testing today.
I love it. Well, my daughter's going to be playing, so they can match up. It'll be great.
So, Tony, correct me if I'm wrong, but basically I go in, and does everyone start with the same loadout or the same gear at the start, at least for this training exercise?
Yes. So for right now, everyone starts with a level 10 operator named Aniki. He's a specific operator within the lore. By the end of STX, which is going to run, I don't know, probably like to Q2 this year, there will be different playable characters introduced throughout the course of the STXs. I think GDC, which I think a bunch of you guys are going to come to, is going to be our next major update with a new operator and new weapons and stuff. And so Aniki has some very specific traits. He's got a very specific set of skills. Our skills are basically unlocked on a progression tree. So you start at level 1, you go to level 50 or 100 or whatever the designers decide the max level is going to be, and you unlock perks which can help define your traits. And so like one of Aniki's perks is that he has a health bonus. And so he's often offered from his perk tree his perk tree like a set of skills that make it more likely that he's going to heal himself. So like in this round, everyone plays with a level 10 Aniki that has three perks. One is you pick up Sigma faster. You heal a little bit every time you pick up Sigma, and your med packs heal you for a little bit more. And so you can imagine, like, in the future, we might give you a different operator that runs faster and their stamina is reduced more slowly, and they can hear things more accurately on the map. So there might be, like, some indicator when you hear stuff, people are walking around you. And at one point throughout the course of this STX, we'll actually release the ability for you to pick which operator you want and start using the operator and progressing and leveling them up yourself, right? All of the operators are NFTs. All of the weapons are NFTs. All the gear is NFTs. And you're actually at the operator level, at the playable character level, you're leveling up your NFT. And so, you know, you could level your NFT up to 50, unlock a bunch of perks, and then decide to sell it on the marketplace, right? And that could be a whole line of business for someone like me who paid for his fraternity in college by selling Ultima Online accounts, right? Like my dream is for that to be a thing that happens.
Tony, I got a question for you. What's the average play session?
Well, it depends. If you're getting out of the first extraction, it can be like 5 minutes, right?
Okay.
If you're waiting until the end where there's the most loot and the most Sigma and usually the best players, it can be up to like 30, 40 minutes. Right.
Okay.
And the Sigma that rains from the sky, becomes more, there's more of it towards the end of the match. So like the first, like three Sigma storms, you might be able to pick up like 30 Sigma. And then by the last Sigma storm, you're picking up like 100 if you're mm-hmm. still alive.
So then other question on the top of that, how many people are in per match, like per game? What is like the player count?
Right now, the max player count size is 12, and we have the min set to 8. So we want
okay,
at least
sweet. So relatively maps. Small maps, I would say.
So right now, yeah, I mean, the feedback we're getting is the map actually feels a little big for 12 people, and so we're probably going to either block off some of the areas that are still not textured and gray box, or up the amount of people that can play on the map. But we're actually waiting to see this game session what people think, because in the last game session, we only had like 1,000 people playing. And so we had the limit was much lower. Like you could have like 5 or 4 people in a match. And so we want to see with, you know, a minimum of 8, maximum of 12, what happens.
Mm-hmm. And we're getting, there's a lot of our listeners, our commenters that are going to be playing this game. And they're like, yeah. I've seen tweets of people like focusing on strategy. They're getting groups together of like tackling. We had Wolfie ask basically that there's two types of strategies, right? Get in and get like as much Sigma as you can get as possible, but it's a low amount, or try to risk it all, try to stay in for as low as possible, maybe play 30, 40 minutes. I mean, I don't know if there's a question in there, but I just find it interesting.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to talk about it. I've been min-maxing the game a ton, right? Oh, and by the way, totally forgot. If you're listening, little alpha, do not let your stamina bottom out unless you absolutely have to. Unless you're running and you're going to die, don't let your stamina bottom out, because if it bottoms out, it takes 10 seconds to start reloading, but if you don't let it bottom out, it takes like a half second for it to start reloading. So just don't sprint yourself out, Alpha. And then in terms of the strategies for collecting Sigma, so that's a great question. I think people are gonna again min-max it and figure out the most optimal way to get in and get out with the most Sigma. For me, I find myself the sweet spot for me is like right at the second extraction. I'm able to get enough Sigma in the first wave to have like my Sigma abilities, which let me do some other stuff on the map. You can like push people and hurt them with your it looks like a green force field that shoots out from you. So I'm usually able to like get around and kill like one or two people and then get, I don't know, like 50 to 120, 130 Sigma and get out by the second extraction is like my sweet spot. I could see myself, that takes me, I don't know, 15 to 20 minutes to do that thing I just said. I bet if I was consistently just like grinding one Sigma drop and getting out in the first extraction, it would take me like 5 to 10 minutes. And so I bet there's some math to be done on a whiteboard there about which one of those is more efficient. But for me, I never wait to the end because I'm just not that good. If you look at the Twitter feed, my team's been dogging on me for weeks because I'm just terrible. So like I said, the second extraction is like my sweet spot.
Got it. And is there any difference to the amount of gear or what operator you get at the start in terms of level? Does it depend on what extraction pack you have? If you have light versus heavy, are there any advantages that you get, or is it all the same for now?
Not yet. So in these first couple STXs, everyone starts with the same operator. Everyone starts with the same gear. And then as we release new updates throughout the course of the training exercises, that choice and that difference between extraction pack holders will become more clear. So like the first time that you're able to choose your the operator you want to play with, extraction pack holders, depending on which one you have, like Shrapnel will pick the operator you get as a light extraction pack holder. And then for the medium and the heavy pack holders, you will pick which one you want. And your choices will have increasing rarity, which makes the perks different and more likely to roll the cooler ones. And that'll happen, I think, like, I don't have it in front of me. I don't want the devs team to yell at me, but it's after GDC. It's after March is when we'll start introducing that concept of choice.
Got it.
Tony, so I wanted to ask, to make the leaderboard, what's the lowest number you can be in order to make the leaderboard?
I mean, one, right? Like, it's just, as long as you extract something, and because it's all just based on the top 1,000 people. I suspect, based on playing, that it's probably going to be in like the low four figures, right? Like 1,000 to 1,500, I bet, is where the 1,000 bottoms out. But I might be talking shit. We might have like 20,000 sweaty people that are just grinding the shit out of this thing. The bottom might be 10,000, right? It really just depends on how many people are grinding trying to get to the top. What I can tell you, and this is one where I'm the marketing guy, so no one's going to yell at me. I'm looking around. No one's going to yell at me for this one. But we've got about 75,000 accounts created right now. And so, you know, I expect that, I mean, if a quarter of those people show up, half of those people show up to actually play the game, and the rest are speculators or just people that were checking out Shrapnel, then, you know, we'll have whatever, you know, 35,000 person DAU for daily average users for this first early alpha experience play to, and you know, matchmaking will be sub, you know, 2 minutes, sub 1 minute. And if that scenario is true, then yeah, it's probably, I'm probably talking shit. It's probably more like mid four figures, maybe low five figures at the bottom of the leaderboard.
Got it. I'm very excited for it. The one thing I wanted to ask about this, Tony, before we wrap, is this is STX1, right? And obviously there's going to be future ones. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you guys announced that you have $3 million in Shrap allocated for these training exercises.
That's right. Every two weeks, there will be a $100,000 prize pool reset. We're just going to top it back up. And we've committed to $3 million, which runs us into sometime in like late 2025 or early 2026. And to be honest with you, we've had some of our partners come and be like, hey, we want to put our token in your prize pool. And so there's a non-zero chance that we are distributing other valuable tokens in the, from our ecosystems in this leaderboard over the, you know, the next couple of months as well. So we've got a lot of exciting stuff coming down the pipe. There's going to be, if you play the game, if you participate in our ecosystem, if you create content, like if you're not very good and you're just creating videos, or if you're just showing up to game nights and participating, there will be opportunities for you to win Shrap token, operator NFTs, all kinds of stuff. We're going to be, prizing everything for the next several months. And we'll have like, I don't know, I think like 8 or 9 of these STX sessions that are major releases. And then we'll have like a bunch of little ones in between. But like I said, every 2 weeks, the prize pool resets back up to 100 grand.
Tony, one question in the comments. Will there ever be Mac OS compatibility for this game in the future?
Oh, can I tell you how much my game team hates it when that question comes up? But the answer, my answer to that is yes. We want to be everywhere. We want to be on as many devices as possible. And so as we continue to build the game out and get it out of our, I mean, we're basically pre-alpha right now. We'll identify which platforms are the right ones to go to first. And, if I'm being honest, I'm like lobbying for us to have some sort of mobile console experience before Mac. But we'll see how that nets out.
Is it a like performance thing? I I'm very green to this. So like, what made you guys decide PC over console versus Mac, and why? Just basically, I never, any gamers like hate Macs, basically, from what I know. They're like, you have a Mac, really? Like,
they make fun of me constantly when they're like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, it really just comes down to a couple of things. One is the fidelity of the game, right? Like we're building a Ferrari. And so we want to build on the things that make our Ferrari look most like a Ferrari first. And then there's a whole bunch of just complexities around. And so that's the answer between PC and Mac. And then with console, there's just a lot of complexities around blockchain and like working with Sony and Microsoft to do anything. And so that's another consideration. Then lastly, we are, we're a startup, we're a small studio. And so we hired a bunch of people with very, very specific skills that have launched a bunch of PC titles before really successfully. And so, we're going to nail that first and then figure out how we expand intelligently and responsibly with our treasury.
Awesome. And last thing, this is where it gets fun and we get to have a little bit of fun on the show. We obviously, I tweeted about this morning, but we have some little mouse pads, full-size mouse pads.
Oh, you're so excited.
We're giving away 10 on Twitter, but Tony, you expressed you wanted to give some away live on the show. I'm going to go ahead and ask for anyone that's listening on YouTube, comment your Twitter username, and we'll pick 5 people to give some away to the YouTube. If you comment Shrapnel on the Twitter space, we'll also pick another 5 there. But Tony, did you have anything in particular you wanted to give away or choose for how you want to give away some more?
Yes, we gotta give Wolfie one. That was a great question. And then Antoine asked another great question. So we should give Antoine one. Any perks for operator holders during these play tests? The answer is yes, there will be. We are still working it out for the early play test, but basically I have a spreadsheet in front of me here that contemplates offering exclusive skins to operators starting in STX 2, or the next one of these things. Not 2 weeks from now, but like the next major update. Again, some alpha here. Our intent is for the next major update to be around GDC. And we'll probably release the ability for players to equip and buy and trade and sell skins on our marketplace and use them in game. And so operator holders will receive a bunch of the first partner skins that we are going to release. So the Bodago skin that we've shown off a couple of times now, a game called Alchemy we're working with. We've made some skins with. We're working with the Avalanche team to try to do some stuff. So I'm lobbying for 5 to 6 skins for operators to be airdropped during that GDC activation. And we'll probably end up with like 3 or 4 and then a dozen spread out over the rest of the STX sessions.
Awesome. And we're getting just bombarded with Twitter and YouTube comments. Tony, just for a little bit of context, we talked about this on the show earlier. People are absolutely loving this mouse pad that we're giving away.
It's so cool.
It is awesome. And I know we haven't fully finalized the details on this, but my idea, and we were brainstorming a little bit, is we also want to give a good amount of them away to people that possibly play the game.
I love it. Let's do it. We can set that up in our Discord. We have a whole bunch of mechanisms to grab people's shipping information. We ship out swag boxes, not all the time, but you know, enough for my team to be sad about it when they have to ship something to Brazil.
Still haven't gotten one. Still haven't got one. We got to talk about this.
Easy. That is broken, and we'll make sure that we fix that. Now I'm sad. I didn't realize that.
Well, awesome. I can't wait. And we'll talk about this. We'll get it all figured out, but we're super excited about this merch drop that we're doing. We're excited about STX1, and I'm very excited to see how it turns out.
You guys make the best merch. You know, I was talking to Jack on your team earlier this week, and your guys' merch is so cool. We literally have other partners of ours coming to us and being like, hey, well, can you get those Bodagos guys to do our collab merch? Like, we don't want anyone else to do it. That shit they're making slaps. It's awesome. It's like, really, I mean, it's super complimentary. You guys are doing a great job.
We love it. And it's awesome to see people excited about it. And this won't be the last as far as merch drops. Tony, before we wrap, and Pio, you're speaking Pio's language, by the way. Pio's been crushing the merch. He's throwing up a bunch of hearts on Twitter right now. A shout out to Pio. Anything before we wrap, Tony, just calls to action. It should be, if someone wants to participate, they need a shrapnel extraction pack, which you can go get at thenifty.com/shrapnel. You can use promo code Nifty for 30% off. They would download, the next step would just be download Shrapnel at the Epic Games store, and then basically play starting at 4 p.m. Eastern today, right?
That's correct. Those are all the right steps. Absolutely.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is the show. Thank you so much to Tony for coming on, the head of Web3 marketing for Shrapnel. We're going to give away some more mouse pads to the YouTube commenters on Twitter as well. Make sure to follow Shrapnel at Play Shrapnel and play the game today, starting at 4 p.m. Eastern. It's going to go for 3 days. You won't want to miss out. At least get your hands dirty. Start playing it. Let us know what you think. We're super excited. We couldn't be more thankful to our partners over at Shrapnel. They're continuing to crush it. Everyone, that's our show. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks again to Tony for coming on when it's bright and early over in Seattle. I see the sun starting to come out during the interview. It was dark when he started. Now there's light out, but we will see you all tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern.